You're listening to Erraticus, Episode 9, Mindless Brute Force.
You took your time. Did you have trouble rocket sciencing yourself into your EVA suit?
No. I was trying to find this.
Whoa, that's pretty fancy. What is it?
A remote electromechanical rheometer.
Oh, it looks like a camera.
Because it is. Of a sort.
It is a camera in the same way that the sun is a flashlight.
So it's not a camera?
It's a way to collect and transmit data back to the ship to be analyzed by the sentient being. They'll be able to determine if there are any incoming or outgoing signals and hopefully detect any volatile or radioactive materials within it.
How do you two cope with such limited ability to perceive the universe?
At least we don't need someone to carry our eyeball around in order to perceive it.
Where's the object you were talking about? Oh, there it is. It's not blinking anymore.
Nah, it stopped a couple of minutes ago. Think that's a good thing?
I don't know. You didn't touch it, right?
Can I reply with, I'm not a complete idiot, without our computer roommate taking the opportunity to insult my intelligence?
What intelligence?
Okay, I'm scanning this thing now. Are you getting the readings?
Yes,
You okay?
I'm fine. The object in question appears to be a tracking device. There is no incendiary component that I can detect.
Yeah, but how reliable are your detection skills in your current state?
Let me rephrase. There is no incendiary component.
Oh, look at that. All my nervousness has gone away.
Can you tell where the signal is being sent?
I cannot.
Could you if you were, you know, working at 100%?
Fern.
Ugh, fine. I take back the question and replace it with a new one. Can this thing interfere with our comm system?
What an asinine question. Of course it cannot interfere with our...
Ow! What the hell? Damn it! What the...
Hey, don't freak out.
What are you doing?
Something happened to our comms, but there's this cool trick I learned once where two people in EVA suits can talk in space by touching the glass of their EVA helmets together. Cool, huh? No comms needed.
It's not actually glass, it's a...
Gee, focus.
Oh, sorry. Wait, what did you do to our comms?
What? You think that was me?
I saw you adjust your comms unit right before the system went down.
Yeah, okay, it was me.
What are you doing?
Me and you need to talk without the computer person listening in, and I couldn't think of a way to get you back into that one closet on board that doesn't seem to have computer ears. Or, I mean, I could think of several ways to lure you into a small room, but they all would have been super awkward, and honestly, I don't think I could have pulled any of them off.
Fern, what the hell are you doing?
I just told you, we need to talk. In private.
What? I thought I came out here to identify the objects stuck to our hull.
Nah, I knew it was a tracker and I think I know why it was placed, but we can talk about that later.
But you just disabled our entire comms network.
Just temporarily. Another neat trick I've picked up. It's amazing what you can do with a standard EVA comms unit if you know how to... I'm getting off topic.
But if you wanted to talk, why didn't you want me to come along initially? Aren't you worried about the sentient being locking us out if we're both outside?
Oh my god, look, if you'd been with me when I was putting on my spacesuit, you would have seen me mess with the comms thingy, and you probably would have made some sort of comment asking what the hell I was doing, and that would have clued in our possible computer nemesis. I needed you both distracted. And even if they do try to lock us out, I'm pretty positive I could find a way back in. There. Please tell me you don't have any more questions, because standing out here pressing my face glass to yours is getting really weird and uncomfortable.
Fine. What did you trick me out here to tell me?
I asked you out here so that we can coordinate our play against a newly revived computer person.
What?
What part of that lost you?
My play?
Yeah. Oh no. You don't have a plan?
I don't have a clue what you're talking about.
Contingency plan. For whatever evil scheme they're thinking up.
You think they're going to betray us?
You don't?
Why would they? I'm getting the feeling that they're worse off without us. And I saved them from being completely eviscerated by Helios. I don't see any reason for them to betray us.
It's never too late for an ulterior motive. You don't think they're going to use us, and then as soon as it's convenient for them, bam, there goes the life support system?
Well, I can't guarantee that won't happen.
Which is why we need a contingency plan. I mean, surely you have one for me, right?
What?
Oh, don't be bashful. And don't worry, I won't be offended. I mean, I have one for your inevitable betrayal, so...
I don't. Maybe it's because I trust that you're not a horrible person.
Okay, I take that back. I am super offended that you don't think that I warrant a contingency plan. That's just rude.
Is that all? Can we go back in now?
Look, all I'm saying is that blindly trusting the entity that 2 days ago was trying to kill us seems kind of reckless and stupid to me. You're neither of those things, so I'm left wondering why I'm having to work so hard to get you to help me prepare for a worst-case scenario here.
After you left, they and I were talking and... they're dying. Or slowly unraveling is probably the description they'd prefer.
Okay, even if that is true, that's not the argument you think it is. People with nothing to lose? Those people are the most unpredictable and the least rational. I think this probably also applies to digital people, too.
The other thing we talked about is that they can help me slow the collapse of the ship's systems. I think together we can buy us all more time.
So let me get this straight. You're going to help our digital amigo fix themselves. You don't see how that can backfire on us?
Look, even if I were as naive as you're implying, I don't think I can repair them back to the point where they'd be completely autonomous again. From what I've seen, the damage is extensive.
Oh, well, that's good news.
I'm glad you think so.
No, it's the perfect situation that'll ensure their dependence on us, which will ensure our safety. Okay, I feel better. Good meeting.
Can you be any more insensitive?
I'm being pragmatic. This isn't a game and this isn't a fairy tale. We are literally traveling a fine line between life and death.
Oh, now you care if we die?
I've cared all along. Don't let my flippancy fool you. I will do whatever it takes to not die. But I also have this pretty good sense for when things are absolutely outside of my control and the even better sense to not stress out when that happens.
I don't see how any of that excludes you showing at least some sympathy towards someone who's injured and probably dying.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah. Okay. I'm putting some effort into taking this advice to heart and not issuing a reflexively sarcastic retort. I hope you understand just how much it's costing me to do so.
You know, I think I do. And sincerely, thanks.
Yeah, sure. So, are we done being all sincere and emotionally gushy because I'm starting to get twitchy?
Yeah, I think we are.
Cool. Okay, let's get the comm system back online.
There. We should be good to go.
Sentient Finch, do you copy? Come in, Sentient Finch.
This is Guy. We hear you.
What is your status?
We've retrieved the device and are coming back inside.
Copy. I apologize. I am uncertain as to the origin of the comm's malfunction, but I am looking into it.
No, it wasn't an error on your side. Ow! I was going to say that we figured it out. Fern's suit has a faulty transmitter. We'll fix it before we use it again.
I just hate it when that happens. Oh, look, the door isn't locked. Will wonders never cease?
As your counterpart has explained, I have no reason to lock you out.
Yeah, to which, if I recall, you said something about us being termites, so pardon me if some skepticism remained.
Fascinatingly, both assertions can be true.
Exterior door is sealed. We're heading back up to the bridge with the tracker. Do either of you know how to disable it?
A sledgehammer would do the trick.
If you're after an approach with more finesse, I believe I might have a way to manipulate the device so that it sends erroneous coordinates to whomever is on the receiving end of the transmission.
Fern, you said you might know why the tracker was placed.
When did she say that?
Yeah, there's a crew out here that uses scouting vessels to tag target ships with the tracker so that the fleet can coordinate an ambush en masse. It's a super effective tactic and probably super terrifying to be on the wrong end of.
How do you know that?
How don't you know that?
I think the best thing to do for now is to temporarily deactivate it. I don't think it's worth the risk of someone seeing through false coordinates and tracking us to our actual location.
Agreed.
But even after we turn the tracker off, they might find us anyway because we're traveling along a stable trajectory that we can't alter because our helm is non-functional. I think finding a way to fix our helm enough to change our course should be the biggest...
Whoa, you okay?
Yeah, just lightheaded for a minute there. I'm fine.
You need a nap.
I need to fix the navigation system and the helm.
Yes, that too. But nap comes first.
I was going to chime in earlier, but I had to take a moment to ensure that I had not entered some alternate reality in which Finch is correct.
So, not any different than this reality.
But she is right. You need sleep, Santi.
But if we're being tracked...
Unfortunately, my navigation system is one of the more critically damaged systems. Also, I suspect you've figured out in order to repair it to some semblance of working order, you will need to access my central processor.
I figured. Where is it, by the way? I've searched the ship and I haven't been able to find it.
That is because it is hidden. To physically access it, you will have to expose a hidden door.
Oh. Okay, where is that?
That brings me to my main point. There can be no further progress in repairing most of my systems until that door is breached. Unfortunately, I have lost the ability to open it myself. The procedure to manually open that door will likely take some time and require physical force without mental aptitude.
Oh boy, you had me at physical force. I get to destroy something?
Carefully.
Cool. I like this plan. So, me, Demolition, our digital buddy, Demolition Foreman, Guy, nap time.
I don't...
Look, Guy, you've been working your butt off since even before we got to the Ort. I've been sitting on my butt since then. I think we can all agree that it's time for me to do my fair share.
But...
Seriously, go. We'll be fine and you'll feel a lot better for it.
Fine. But if anything even looks off or funny or broken or dangerous or questionable or...
Guy.
Then let me know right away.
Duh.
Okay. I guess I'll go... Yeah.
Night. Okay. Now, where do they keep the sledgehammers on this tub? I'd be a whole lot happier if I had a sledgehammer.
Ah yes. What an apt way to epitomize your problem-solving and critical thinking skills. Why use logic when you can just use mindless brute force to try and solve all of your problems?
Oh my god, you're so right. If only I were as smart as you, then I'd be a completely functional computer program who definitely has all of their computer organs.
If you want to talk about failures, let us talk about failures. Tell me, who is Moss?
Don't.
Oh, pardon me. I don't believe I am using the correct tense. Let me rephrase. Who was Moss?
How about we continue this conversation after you show me where your brain is? I'm sure I can make short work of it even with this piddly little plasma chisel.
Have you learned nothing so far? If you physically destroy my central processor, your death will quickly follow.
And have you learned nothing about me? You think I'd choose my own well-being over the opportunity to Swiss cheese your brain?
Honestly, I think you're all
talking.
Oh.
And at least I can talk without glitching out. Hello? What, no retort? What the hell?
Finch, you okay?
I don't know. I think something happened to our digital buddy.
Everything is under control, Santi. I recommend you go back to sleep.
You sure?
Completely.
Okay.
You want to tell me what that was about?
I neither want nor need to tell you anything. Suffice to say that we would all benefit if you stopped being obnoxious and completed the one task you've been assigned.
The task I volunteered for. I'm not in elementary school anymore. I don't do assignments.
From what I can tell, you hardly do anything of use at all.
Look, do you want me to save your brain or Swiss cheese it? Because right now I'm getting mixed messages.
I want you to access the false wall that conceals the alcove in which my central processor is housed. That is hardly synonymous to any verb related to saving.
You're right. That sounded like a supercilious way of asking me to give you a brain piercing.
I see we are getting nowhere. A shock, I assure you. I suppose I should wake Santi and have him take over this task since you...
Wow, that speaking thing is really tripping you up, huh? Don't worry, that happens to most people who try to be all sanctimonious at me. Digital buddy? This is the part where you continue being all sanctimonious towards me. Hello? You still alive?
Fine,
and I would request that you use more appropriate terminology when you refer to my state of being, but I have given up hope that your lexicon has the capability of supporting such a request.
Whatever. So, are we doing this?
The only delay to this, thus far, has been your insistence on being as disruptive and aggravating as possible. So I ask you, we doing this?
Sure. Thank you for getting on board. Now, where do I cut?
Proceed to the kitchen.
Okay. You do know I was being figurative about the Swiss cheese, right?
I assure you I do. It is perhaps the least consequential of the many facts that I am aware of. What are you doing?
I actually made myself cry from cheese. Okay, what's the next step?
The next step is to find a pair of hands attached to a working brain.
Huh? What was that?
The next step is to locate the section of wall that is, in fact, a concealed door.
Yeah, I know that. Where, though?
The wall to your 3 o'clock. If you look very, very closely, you'll see the seam where the door meets the wall. Right there.
Oh, yeah, I see it. Wow, that's pretty sneaky.
Use the plasma chisel in your hand to trace that seam. Go slowly and carefully.
Those are two of my least favorite adverbs, but I'll try. It's funny that your brain is in the kitchen. I always suspected the way to a computer's brain was through their stomach.
I'm not a computer.
Yeah, Gee keeps saying that too, but what neither of y'all seem to consider is that I don't know what else to call you because sentient being is a mouthful, and I'd rather save that mouth energy for the shockingly large amount of cheese we seem to have on board.
Yes, I can see how hard my identity would be for you to comprehend.
Not your identity, your name, or nickname, or something else that I can call you that's easier and less pretentious than sentient being. You know, I'm starting to like Digital Buddy.
Absolutely not.
I'm not hearing a better option.
That's hardly my concern. I also feel compelled to point out that the number of syllables in your dreadful moniker is the same as in sentient being. So you have, in effect, failed to come up with a more efficient name by which to refer to me.
Agree to disagree. So, you really don't have a name?
No, nor do I want one.
I don't think you've really thought this out.
Oh, please explain.
You're living with two people who, despite my wishes otherwise, will probably need to talk to you or about you every so often. At this point, we're going to end up calling you the sentient being so much that it's going to become your name. Then it'll be too late for you to do anything about it because, for me at least, that's who you'll be. A piece of advice? We humans love names. You getting one is going to be inevitable. So you can either leave it up to us, or you can take this chance and define yourself.
I feel no desire to succumb to human idiosyncrasies.
Whatever. You do you. Have you heard of the innominate bone?
Yes. It is the term used for the fused ilium, ischium, and pubis that form the human pelvis. And I caution you against proceeding with any puerile jokes you humans are fond of making in regards to that portion of anatomy.
Pubis. Anyway, when I was a kid, we were learning anatomy, and the teacher told us innominate is some fancy word that means nameless. So, basically, it's the nameless bone, and I got so irritated at that. Like, you literally just gave it a name, so it's no longer nameless. It was a paradox or contradiction or whatever, and I got so mad I failed that test on principle. Anyway, my point is that we humans are incapable of not naming things, even when the name is literally, yeah, we're just gonna call this thing no name. Hello? Are you still there?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was focusing on the power influx to the third galley light aft of you. It is currently the most compelling source of entertainment in your general vicinity. Anyway, you were saying something?
Wow, more boring than a light bulb? That's a new low for me.
With the metaphorical shovel you seem to insist on carrying around, I'm sure there are further depths to which you'll plumb in the near future.
Well, what can I say? I like to explore. So, Gee tells me that you're dying. That true?
Oh, I don't recall him telling you that within my hull. Curious. That comms failure was suspiciously convenient for you two. Tell me, did you two have a nice time scheming outside?
You know, I think we did. The setup was awkward and the atmosphere was literally nothing to speak of, but the view was breathtaking.
I figured.
We're not morons. You tried to kill us how many times? But if it makes you feel better, me and him came to the agreement that we're all literally in the same boat. And he's a good person. If he says we try and fix you, then we try and fix you.
And you?
Me?
I'm wondering if you're a good person too.
Why?
Maybe I'm doing some scheming of my own.
Oh, well, me? I'm just here for the ride. Guy seems like an overly trusting fella. I'm making it my job to make sure human-slash-digital being relations stay balanced on this tub. If I get the sense that you're doing anything to compromise us, well, I now know that there's a plasma chisel on board and, as you can see, I know how to use it.
Questionably valid threat noted.
So, you didn't answer my question. You dying?
I'm fraying.
Oh. For what it's worth, I'm sorry.
I would rather you channel your useless emotional energy into working faster.
Hey, you told me to go slow.
Yes, but not glacially so.
Got it. Picking up pace to turtle speed. Okay, done. What now?
Gently push against the middle of the door.
Okay. Whoa. That's your brain?
That is my central processor.
Huh.
If you even think about making a comment about expecting it would be larger.
Please, that would be mean, even for me.
Oh.
I was gonna say that this is a cute little room it's stored in. I'm kinda tempted to decorate it. You know, a couple throw pillows, mood lighting, houseplants.
No.
Hey, I bet a couple of pictures of Swiss cheese would look really good in here.
Are you quite finished?
Buddy, I haven't even gotten started.
I told you. Don't call me that.
Okay, a wondrous sentient being.
We're done here. There's a mechanism to return the panel to its original...
What's that?
What's what?
There, on that wall there.
Do not go into my room.
Okay, stay out of your brain room. Got it. But you don't see it?
I see an imbecile pointing to an empty wall within my central processor's alcove.
Yeah, but more specifically, an imbecile who is pointing at a seam in the wall of your brain's cubbyhole.
A what?
A seam, just like the one I used my handy-dandy plasma chisel on. It looks like a hidden door for another hidden room.
I...
Seriously? You don't know what's behind there?
I don't.
Huh. Well then, let's find out.
Thank you for listening to Erraticus. This episode was written by Sarah Newton and featured the voices of Sarah Newton and Jacob Zarek, with special thanks to Jacob Zarek for wrangling quantum mechanics. Please visit our website at erraticuspod.com for details regarding sound effects and music attributions. If you enjoyed this part of our story, please share with others, and tune in next time for Erraticus, Episode 10, The Glowy Jar.